Well, hey, good morning. So grateful that you could join us today. Before we dive in, I just wanted to say a huge thank you for everybody for your generosity. As you may already know, over the last several weeks, we have been directing 100% of our tithes and offerings to our benevolence fund to take care of people as we go through this disaster. And I just want to let you know that because of your generosity, you know, we've been able to help so many, many families with groceries, with paying for utilities, with helping with rent. And all of that is because of your generosity. So thank you for giving to the church so that we could be a blessing to many, many people. It truly has made an impact. Well, if you remember from last week, as we prayed, really diving into this season, I mean, the pandemic season, as we prayed and we sought discernment from God about, you know, what's really going on about the season, we listened to thought leaders from around the world, really began to see pretty clearly that our culture was going through several different phases. The first phase was surprise. This whole thing caught everybody off guard, went to this kind of phase of stabilize, which trying to keep the economy from flying off the cliff, trying to keep from killing our kids as we're homeschooling and trying to figure that out, to a phase of normalize, which we're now trying to find kind of a new normal in our life. We understand things aren't going to go back to the way that they were, but how are we going to proceed in life? We're finding kind of a normalization in a way. But we believe that, honestly, that God wants to do something so much more than those things in every single one of our lives. And we believe that God wants to revitalize our faith, that God doesn't want us to not just to help us get through it, but that he would empower us to be stronger and better on the other side of it. And we really believe that God wants to do something so powerful. And so we're starting a series, this is week two, of a series called Stronger, because we believe that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring a strength and a power to your life. The key idea for the series is that you have been given everything that you need to not just survive, but to thrive. That's what God wants for you, just this element of thriving in your life. The key verse for the series comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. It says this, the Apostle Paul prays, I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he's called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you'll understand the incomparable greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And so Paul, as he thinks about this region of churches, prays this. He says that in the deepest part of who you are, that you would really know and understand three things. Number one, that you would really understand the hope that God invites you to. That you're not intended to live a hopeless life. You're not supposed to live in despair. That God has hope for you. The second thing he prays is that you would understand how important you are to God. That in fact, he says that you are God's inheritance. That you are so important, you are not forgotten. And then the third thing that he prays that we would deeply understand is the power that God has available to be at work in your life for those who believe, that you are not powerless, that there is power that's available to you. See, you have been given everything that you need to not just survive, but to thrive. Well, how do we do this? How do we live a life of thriving where we live in the power that God has for us? Well, last week we talked about the power of God's word, that how when we immerse ourselves in God's word and allow ourselves to not just hear it, but to do it, several things happen. God gives us wisdom, the ability to know what to do when we don't know what to do. God gives us peace in our lives, and God builds our faith through the power of the word. Today, I want to talk about the power of prayer that God wants to unleash in your life. Because I think that the truth is that most of us, I mean, intellectually at least, we believe in prayer. But I would say that most of us live without the power that comes from prayer because we've learned to do without prayer at all in our lives. And so what my prayer is for you, right where you're at, where you're listening, is that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and show you that really to live without prayer is to live without power. And God wants you to live with power, and so we've got to learn the power of prayer. Let me start with something funny, because I was thinking about prayer, and I've been in vocational ministry for over 14 years now, and just thinking about, man, I've heard some funny prayers, and you can kind of categorize these prayers into different ways. You think about maybe in a small group, you've heard somebody, we'll call this person the prayer lecturer. This is the person that just loves for you to know how theologically dense they are. Their prayer goes something like, you know, oh God, I thank you for sanctification, the propitiation of our sins, and the atonement on the cross. And they're like, really? Like, you just really want us to know how much theological words you know, don't you? How about this one? This is the prayer gossiper. This is when the prayer person prays. It says, Lord, I beseech you to be with Rachel and her new boyfriend as they deal with purity. And Lord, you've called us to live with purity in our inmost parts, and I can just see lust in their eyes. And this is the prayer gossiper. Or how about this one? I love this one. This is from John Acuff. This is the prayer shot blocker. As that goes, the first person prays like this. You know, Lord, I thank you for affirming my decision to take this new job. And the prayer shot blocker jumps in. They says, well, Lord, I just pray that you give Danielle more patience and discernment as she looks for a new job. Would you just help her not to rush into anything? And that's a prayer shot block. Now, there's a lot of funny ways that people have prayed. But I'm grateful that Jesus very specifically gives us an illustration of what we're supposed to do with prayer. In fact, if you've got your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 7. We find a story. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And he gives us this great illustration of what prayer is like. He says, which of you, if your son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, you would give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? Now, there are a lot of different concepts about prayer. Probably depending on how you were raised, you've got an understanding of prayer. Some people think that prayer is really nothing more than a religious ritual. Some people think of prayer as something that you do as a consequence to your sin. You just got to recite this over and over. Some people pray as a way of, you know, manipulating God. They feel like they've got to manipulate God into giving him something that he would not give them otherwise. You know, what's interesting about this is that when Jesus talks about prayer, he compares prayer to a son who goes to his father that loves him, asking for something that he needs. I think that there are times, I know certainly in my life and probably in your own, is that when we feel totally powerless to overcome something. But I wonder, in light of what Jesus said about prayer, is it possible that the lack of power that we feel in our lives comes from what James talks about in James chapter 4, verse 2, when he says, you have not because you ask not. There may be times that we are hitting our head against the wall trying to figure out what's going on with our marriage or with our kids or with our job or with a situation. We're at a loss for what to do. And we think, why can't I get around this? And why can't I understand this? And why can't I get through this? Let me just say, could it be that you have not because you ask not? The truth that we see in the scriptures is that God has provided everything that you need for a life of power, for a life of godliness, that God wants you to live a life of power, that he's given you his power at work at your life, and he said it over and over and over, ask and it will be given to you. I think that the secret of living a life of fullness of prayer, and this is something I'm pressing into, I want to apply this to my own life, is something, just an understanding of God's posture towards us. Just simply understand that God loves to answer your prayers. That God is not waiting for you just to come up with the right combination of words so that he'll answer. God loves to answer your prayers. In fact, in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But I think, you know, how little time we spend in prayer. We're too busy to pray, and therefore we're too busy to experience the power that God has for us. We've got a great deal of activity and things that we do, but we accomplish little. We're busy with a lot, but it results in very little. The power of God is lacking in our lives and in our work. And I think it's because we have not because we ask not. And so what I want to do is I just want to offer us a simple reminder of the sheer power of prayer that God has available for you in your life. Let me just give you three things that prayer has the capacity to do for you in your life. The first one is this, is that prayer has the capacity, the power to remove obstacles. It's got the power to remove obstacles in our life. You think about the early church as they were just getting off the ground and they were sharing the good news of Jesus all over Jerusalem. And the religious leaders, they arrest them, they beat them, they throw them into jail, and they then release them with this message, do not ever preach in the name of Jesus again. And so what's the early church do? Well, they gather everybody together in prayer. In Acts 4:24, it says they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. They began praying to God. And it says this, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a problem. They had an obstacle that they faced, and they took it before God in prayer. You know what God did? He gave them boldness to continue. And out of this, God did a mighty work through the church. Let me ask you a question. What obstacle are you facing in your life? Do you need breakthrough in your life as you raise your kids? Do you need breakthrough in your life, in your marriage, in a situation that you're facing? Where do you need breakthrough? Let me encourage you, take it to God in prayer. Pray for it. Ask. Hold on to God until you get it. In fact, Jesus gives another story of prayer. In Luke chapter 18, he says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. What obstacles are you facing? Take those to God in prayer. Number one is it removes obstacles. Number two, what does prayer do for us in our lives? It's this, that prayer has the power to give us wisdom. It's got the power to give us wisdom. Now, last week, in the week one, we talked about the power of the Word of God to give us wisdom. But the same thing, that's what prayer does. Prayer taps into the wisdom that God has for us. In fact, there's a promise that we have that comes from James chapter 1. It says, if you need wisdom, then ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He's not going to rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. I think about this promise. I mean, there's few promises that are more clear than this, that if you need wisdom, and who doesn't really, if you need wisdom, ask God, but ask believing that he will give it to you. And so let me ask you, think about your concept of God. I think many people walk around with this understanding of God that he just wants us to be struggling or walking around in the dark or trying to figure things out. But what this promise tells us is that God wants you to ask him for wisdom. That if you ask for wisdom, if you need wisdom, if you come to him looking for wisdom, if you're facing something that you don't know what to do, all God is saying is ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you. That God gives you and offers you his infinite wisdom at your disposal. All that he asks is that we ask and that we ask with faith. And Nick Thomas was 47 and he found himself unemployed and in dire straits financially. He had had a very successful career in the Air Force and as a finance person and was very successful, but through a course of events, he found himself unemployed and under incredible financial pressure. Well, his wife, Liz, took this matter before God in prayer, and every day coming before God saying, God, what do we do about this? God, what's our next step? God, would you remove this obstacle? God, would you give us wisdom? What are we supposed to do? Every day she prayed to God asking for wisdom on what they were supposed to do. And an answer is almost as if she was able to hear an audible voice, just this one sentence, make the mustard. It's laughable to us, but to Liz, her family had this old recipe from Russia. And every Christmas, Liz would make this recipe and give it to her friends and family for Christmas. But Nick and Liz decided to follow the voice, and so one day they made a huge batch of this mustard, and they decided to call a local cheese shop. They took their batch to him, and the manager tasted it, and after one taste decided he was going to buy up their entire inventory of mustard. Within 3 months, Nick and Liz had broken the highly competitive deli market of New York City, all because they took their needs and their prayers to God, asking God for wisdom. Will you do the same? What obstacles are you facing? What wisdom do you need to face? What are you hitting your head against the wall saying, God, what do I do about this? Take your needs before God and ask Him for wisdom. Let me give you number three. What does prayer do for us? Number three, prayer has the power to tame our tongues. Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 18:7 says, the mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Let me give you one more proverb. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Yeah, I think about this season and so many people experiencing the pandemic and being under quarantine. You know that the divorce rates are skyrocketing in this season. You just think about people that have a difficult relationship that are now stuck together. I think that many, many people are discovering what James said in James chapter 3:8, that no one can tame the tongue. There's a lot of people saying things that they wish that they wouldn't have said. There's a lot of people saying things that are hurtful and damaging. And we're discovering no one can tame the tongue. But I'll tell you that while no man can tame the tongue, God can. God can in answer to prayer. When we pray, and I love this prayer from David in Psalm 141, he says this. He says, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, would you keep watch over the door of my lips? You pray a prayer like that, and God will answer that prayer. If you struggle with tearing people down, then pray. If you struggle with saying hurtful things, then pray. If you struggle with damaging language, then pray. Pray because prayer gives you strength and taps into the power that God has already made available to you. You pray. See, there's a reason why the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to these collection of churches in the region of Ephesus, that he says, man, I pray that you will understand the incomparable greatness of God's power for those who believe him. See, if we really understood prayer, then I have no doubt that we would really understand the power that God has available to us. Think about Samuel Chadwick. He was a fiery Methodist preacher in the 19th century, and he said this. He said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies or from prayerless work or from prayerless religion. He laughs at all of our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. I want to encourage you right where you're at, whatever you're facing in your life, that you would dedicate yourself to being a person of prayer. I'll tell you, there's no right or wrong way to pray. There's no right or wrong time of day to pray. There's no right place to pray or no wrong place to pray. God just wants you to pray. I like what Max Lucado says. He says, our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one that says it, our prayers do make a difference. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, let's be people that pray.